Hello, you are listening to The Wellness Project with Des. I'm your host Desiree, a mental health therapist and holistic wellness coach. On my podcast, I interview experts in the field of mental health and wellness, as well as those who share their firsthand accounts of their mental health journeys. These interviews will give you many tips, tools, and strategies to improve your mental health, as well as give you hope, support, encouragement, and inspiration on your own personal mental health and wellness journey. Thanks so much for being here. I would greatly appreciate it if you took a moment to leave me a review on iTunes and leave the podcast 5 stars on Spotify. It really helps the podcast to grow, which in turn helps me to keep bringing on amazing guests and spreading mental health and wellness education and support. And make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode. Hello, and thanks for being here. This is episode number 140. On today's episode, I am speaking with Ben Sosinski all about his journey with anxiety. I think this is going to be a really great episode, as well as a really important one, because anxiety disorders are on the rise. And I, for one, have a generalized anxiety disorder, which I've been open about on the podcast before, and I'm going to share more in the outro. So make sure you stick around for that. I'm really looking forward to you hearing my conversation with Ben. I really hope that you gain a lot of value from it and take away some insights. So please help me welcome Ben. All right, everyone. I am here with Ben. Ben, thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course. It's a real pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on because we're going to be talking all about your journey with your mental health, specifically anxiety. So I'm really looking forward to this because so many people, including myself, struggle so much with anxiety. So to get us started, I would love if you can introduce yourself, share as much or as little as you want about your mental health journey, your anxiety, and how you got to where you are today.
Sure. So my name is Ben. I spent about 15 years in college administration and a variety of different roles and areas of, you know, higher education. And then in the last couple of years, unfortunately, my mother passed away from a heart attack in January of 2021, and my father had some heart issues previously. So I decided to check myself out with, you know, I found a cardiologist, pressed for all the tests, and unfortunately, I had heart disease as well, and obviously still do. And so that made it really difficult for me to concentrate on what I was doing in my last position. The combination of the stress of that and really wanting to spend all my time learning everything I could about optimal health and heart disease and everything, I ended up leaving that position, creating a health and wellness coaching business, and now I'm doing some personal training as well. And I guess the part of the mental health, you know, historically for me and my, I guess, journey with anxiety is, you know, the stress from the last position was so much that for too much information, I had diarrhea for about 2 months. And it was all because of internalizing, you know, the expectations and the conversations I had with my supervisor at the time. It's all tied together in anxiety and really that inability to turn off my brain or to focus on being in the here and now versus what came previously and what's in the future. Any opportunity I have to help someone else with what I've done to manage my anxiety, as well as my own daily practice to make sure that I can move forward with that and have less of an issue.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. So dealing with anxiety, what are your earliest memories of struggling with anxiety? Did you struggle as a kid? Was this more of like an adult onset?
So there's a couple different things that come to mind. The first one is I come from a family of criers, and that's not the whole family. Like my father, he's in his old age. He shows emotion more than he did when I was younger. But my sister and my mother and I, you know, we would have kind of abnormal reactions to emotional things. Like we would be watching television and a sad commercial would come on and we would all sob. In retrospect, I feel like that was the first sign that, you know, maybe my emotions were bubbling a little bit too much at the surface compared to, you know, a normal person. And then the other thing was kind of performance anxiety. When I was like in 6th, 7th grade, I started playing basketball. You know, and even though I actually had some skills doing it, you know, I, for example, one of my most embarrassing moments was getting a rebound and scoring or 2 points for the wrong team. Because, you know, it was just being caught in my head. And then later, so I played the trumpet, I studied music in undergrad. And the better I became at playing trumpet, the more nervous I was, to the point where my physical reaction, like my lips would tense up. And, you know, as you'd imagine, playing the trumpet, that's not what you want. Through early high school, I was okay. And then as I advanced, like by the end of high school, I wouldn't be able to play a solo situation without kind of crumbling. And so that progressed from there. And really where it got, I guess, at its worst, generally speaking, is so when I had a serious relationship, you know, I can remember like the first time, you know, my girlfriend and I broke up, and then I felt a little bit depressed about it. And I would have this period of time where I, you know, just kind of felt crappy, I suppose, like most people do in that situation. But then I would wake up one morning, you know, and it was like a Disney movie where you have all the birds, you know, chirping and everything is happy, and it's like anxiety passed, you know. And so that's what the first relationship was like. And then in the next serious one that I had that ended, not all of that anxiety went away. So like I woke up and I didn't feel down in the same way, you know, like I had that period passed, but then the anxiety stuck around with me in different ways. Like, you know, I can feel ups and downs where when I'm feeling very tense, and then on the down, I start to release the emotions, and I find that I cry more easily, which I was talking to a client this morning about that, where I like, you know, if you said, what are your favorite songs? Most of mine are going to be sad songs. And that might sound depressing to some people, like my wife chooses happy songs. But for me, there's a cathartic release to that, which I think is tied to my history of having anxiety.
So you mentioned some of your symptoms with anxiety, but can you name some others that you were dealing with? Like, what did this anxiety look like for you?
Well, it's an interesting question because I've had the same therapist for, I guess, probably 6 or 7 years now. And that's a question that he'll ask, like when I'm saying I'm feeling anxious, and what does that mean? I mean, a symptom would be I get a loop of a song stuck in my head and I can't get rid of it. Or, you know, like an earworm, as I'm told Germans call it. And frequently it's a song that I don't know well enough, but I've heard enough times, and so I can't like sing my way out of it. And sometimes I would, you know, if I play that song, that's a good way to go through it. But I also kind of created this one particular tune that I would start humming to myself, and that would get me through those particular situations. But it's really like it's not like an acute anxiety in the way that someone would take, I don't know, name any anxiety medication for people who are like having a panic attack. Like I would describe it as higher intensity emotions all throughout the day. There are times when it's lower or higher, and then what my activity is, like exercising, for example, I can get really worked up and I'm feeling tense, and like my wife can, you know, like anxiety is rippling through the air, and she might say like, oh, you should go work out, you know, and I go do that and I come back and I'm like a super happy person. It's hard to say other specific symptoms because it's such just it's a feeling that I have. So it's very, I guess I'll say it's like personal and subjective in a, not in like a too personal sort of way, but just the way that I experience it.
No, gotcha. That's really helpful. Thank you for sharing that. When did you begin to realize that what you were dealing with was anxiety? How did you know? What were some of your indicators?
The day-to-day things, I noticed that other people wouldn't internalize, you know, kind of made me stand out to myself anyway and reflect on that and wonder, you know, ask those questions. It was one particular job, and the job is why I started working with a therapist, because, you know, it just, the pressure became so much that I thought, you know, like, I don't know if I can do this job anymore. Basically, the job was never ending amount of pressure. It was fundraising and it didn't feel like there was ever an end in sight. So it was just piling on more and piling on more. And everyone I worked with experienced that sort of thing. And even though I dealt with that situation really for a full 5 years, I definitely like took it more personally, I think, than a lot of other people. I mean, I would say it was probably at that time because I dealt with that situation and I always, even though I tried anxiety medication prior to that, I always tried to resist that, just for my, not to say that there's anything wrong with people taking medications for that, but, you know, I take medications for heart disease related things and those are kind of unavoidable. So if I can manage any aspect of avoiding something, that's what I'll do. When I left, finally got out of that position, which was like kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, was COVID, because the job actually got much more intense at that point. It was kind of like once you were at home, there was no work-life boundary. You know, I feel like the department really took advantage of that. And so I found another position at the same institution, and that was good until I had a supervisor who, you know, I could never meet her expectations. And that is a point when I thought about how is my struggle with anxiety, like, how is this a real problem for me in the future professionally? If I ever go into a more traditional job again where I'm working for someone else, is that going to be difficult to manage? You know, and I don't know the answer to that question, but I feel like I've got enough things in place that kind of help me with that situation. So kind of picking and choosing exactly what I want to do, keeping my anxiety in mind.
I'm glad you brought that up because I did want to ask you how your anxiety impacted different aspects of your life. So I'm glad that you brought up work. Did anxiety impact any of your relationships, whether romantic relationships, relationships with family, friends, socially?
So I'm taking a course right now to qualify to sit for the National Board exam for health and wellness coaches. And we watched a clip from Key and Peele on text messaging. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's an example of being lost in translation that happens with text messaging sometimes, where he's kind of worked up about it and the other guy responds and it's like, you know, like, oh yeah, you know what I mean? He's like kind of interpreting everything optimistically and the other guy's, what? Like, I can't believe you just said that. And I was like, I'm the first guy in that situation. So like, it's overthinking that makes it difficult. I'm sure that I'm more likely to interpret something incorrectly in a relationship of some sort, you know, like friendly, for example, let's say. But, you know, like, I'm old enough to have an understanding of the way my mind works. You know, I'm quick to apologize or to acknowledge a situation that I misread in hopes that people find my quirks endearing and and we've been friends for a while. So, you know, this is the way I am. But, you know, so I've been married for over 11 years. My wife has a very good memory. And, you know, she's able to kind of, obviously having observed me for so long, she can say like, oh, like this was the way that you felt in this previous job or this other relationship. But, you know, like I'm fortunate that she's a great support system and she loves me very much and we help each other through our challenges. And so she was supportive, obviously, in my career change. You know, I can have those conversations with her and say like, oh, I feel like my anxiety has been lower lately, you know, and she'll say yes, or I think, or maybe not. She's honest with me on those things. And I'm sure that if I had a lesser partner, you know, maybe that would be a problem. I didn't really have, as far as like romantic relationships went, I wouldn't say that the anxiety was a big issue with anyone previously. As in, like, I don't think it was as bad as it could be. I mean, I think for most people, any kind of mental health issue or anxiety kind of, it just continues to rise the older you get. I don't know the physiological reasoning behind that, but I think that's the case.
Thank you for sharing that. So in your life with, you know, obviously with your wife, but with friends, with family, are you open about your anxiety? Do they know that you struggle with anxiety?
Yeah. You know, like I think anxiety is such a subjective issue, you know, and it's a wide range for, like, I guess we can say a spectrum, you know. So there are people who have anxiety attacks and freak out and have to, you know, go to the hospital. There are people who have kind of the underlying anxiety of varying levels. You know, I know people who have underlying anxiety that are, you know, much higher than mine. Some people take medication, some people don't. And, you know, I know some people who take medication and it's life-changingly positive for them. But yeah, I mean, I don't talk about it in differently abled sort of way. You know, I don't say like, hey, I have anxiety. Yeah, I don't ever want to seem like I'm looking for extra attention or, you know what I mean? I don't want special treatment, I guess, is what I'm saying. Mostly because I generally feel like I can handle it, you know, but I do talk about it and I don't have any issue talking about it. So I live in Brooklyn, New York. It's a very liberal bubble. Like, I'm originally from Ohio. You know, would I go in and talk to my relatives and say like, hey, let's talk about anxiety? I don't know. But certainly in where I am in life, and I've had people at work talk about anxiety, and I'll happily share that I deal with that as well. And I used to work at St. Francis College, so I had the opportunity to speak at a mindfulness course, and I'm hoping to do that again this semester. It's a group of students, and it's talking about my anxiety and the things that I've done to deal with that. So I'm a pretty open book, probably sometimes more than I should be.
Oh, yeah. Great. Well, no, perfect. This is the perfect segue, because I did want to shift a little bit to talking about how you manage your anxiety. What things did you learn didn't work for you? What does work for you? I know you said that you don't really like to take medication. So how do you manage your anxiety effectively? What are the different things that you do?
So the anxiety medication, I don't remember what it was, but I tried that probably 9 or 10 years ago. And I just didn't like the side effects and the way that it made me feel. I've always been unashamed to show emotions, and it really tamped that down. You know, I felt like there were times I wanted to cry and I couldn't. So I don't remember how long I took that, but I don't think it was probably more than a few months. And then the real focus, I would say, after that was just exercise. You know, I started running a lot and at a, you know, pretty intense pace, and lifting weights as well. But, you know, a higher intensity thing is, excuse me, always beneficial to how I'm feeling. And I think it's a basic idea that I find that I can't concentrate on multiple things at a time. So if I'm focused on the physical nature of my body, of whatever intensity I'm putting it through, then I'm not able to think about my mind as well. A quick side story that's similar, I used to golf pretty frequently. I would be nervous golfing with myself or with a close friend, which, you know, in retrospect feels silly. After I went through one of those breakups I referred to, my golf game really improved because I couldn't feel like both sad and nervous at the same time. Back to today. So, you know, exercising regularly is a key. The worst point in my job, which was kind of that post-COVID period of time, like I guess right after the worst of it, people are getting used to it. I think I was on the verge of a panic attack, which is not something I'd ever experienced before. You know, my wife like recommended a 20-minute guided meditation, and I came into, sat on the bed and just like did that and calmed myself down. And then when I started really focusing on what my life is going to be like in this new career, regular meditation became really important to me. I have done traditional sitting Buddhist style meditation and enjoyed that. But I find that in my current life, it's easier to do, you know, just guided meditation, audio or whatever. Just a chance for me to sit down. And it doesn't mean that my mind is always 100% relaxed, but even taking that amount of time, which I think for me, you know, a sweet spot is, you know, 20 minutes, it's helpful. The last thing I would say kind of as part of that is just general mindfulness. I'm a big fan of Thich Nhat Hanh's work. Started reading all of his books, listening to his talks that are recorded on podcasts. His mindfulness focus tends to be living in the here and now, you know. So it's really the simple tasks like, you know, when you're brushing your teeth or if you're washing dishes, folding clothes, you know, just thinking about each task that you're doing as you're doing it. You know, and that's also helpful for in other ways, like relationships, conversations you're having with other people. I find that in today's world where we're constantly overstimulated, you get lost in the noise of everything that's going on, and you've got notifications on your phone and everything on the internet and your many different social media options to get lost in. Being able to simplify things, take a step back and think about exactly what you're doing, that's been really helpful for me. And, you know, and I guess the last thing I would say is just being hyper aware of how I'm feeling and what situations might make me feel worse, you know, and trying to get ahead of those things or, you know, avoid them in certain situations. So, you know, every day is an adventure.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that. I think that's going to be really, really helpful for our listeners. And like you said, anxiety is a spectrum. So people deal with it in different ways. People have different levels of it. And we all, I think everyone deals with anxiety to some extent. But like you said, some people are more elevated than others and have different needs and different symptoms. So to be aware of that and to do what works for you. And so I'm glad you gave so many different examples because, again, some things may work for some people and not for others. So I like that you do a lot of different things and brought up a lot of different examples. So it sounds like you are effectively coping with your anxiety today. Do you have any words of wisdom or advice for those that are kind of struggling with their anxiety? They haven't really been able to figure out how to manage it and they don't really know what to do about it.
Yeah. Before I answer that question, one other thing, one other supplement that I take is magnesium L-threonate. You know, I had seen a functional doctor when I started my heart disease journey just to make sure that I, you know, can make all the possible positive lifestyle changes and such. And that was something that has been really, I think, helpful for me, especially relaxing at sleep time. I wouldn't throw out recommendations for supplements for people without proper testing and such. But anyway, for other people, I would say, first of all, like, you know, I think more people than not are dealing with some level of anxiety. Certainly don't feel alone. And again, this is an example of, you know, what I said earlier, where, you know, where I live. I mean, I'm in a, you know, a metropolitan area of 11 million people or whatever, and there are a lot of people experiencing a lot of things. And, you know, maybe if you lived in the middle of nowhere in a small town, you might feel more alone. But remember that you're not. Maybe you don't, and maybe that's not the case anymore with the internet and connecting with people. And then, you know, the other thing is just, I think, staying positive. When I reflect on something that I liked about my mother, something that I always thought was positive that she did, to be honest, she kind of seemed like a downer on day-to-day conversations, but she was always looking forward to things. Whenever it seemed like she was depressed or should anyone be concerned about her, it was really like, you know, she was planning her next whatever that is. You know, I can't wait to go to this, you know, antique sale, or can't wait to get started in the garden or do these things with plants of some sort. You know, like any of her hobbies, I think, kept a positive spin on life. You know, and anxiety, of course, and depression run pretty closely to one another. There's a lot of overlap and people can feel down or whatever, you know, obviously subjective, but always focus on tomorrow and the things that you'd like to do, you know, whether it's like, I can't wait to go to something next week, or, you know, I've got a longer term goal or whatever that looks like. And keep looking, I guess, would be my final advice. If something doesn't work for you, try the next thing. Whenever you have a service job with the internet, like, so for personal training, you know, I'm providing a service. You can go on the internet and find programs. For health coaching, like, I could talk to you about nutrition. And ultimately, the information is all out there. But, you know, it's best to have someone who has experience and can guide you through these things. And that's why, you know, people will still choose to work with me or anyone else who provides a service. You've got a wealth of information, just looking for things that work for other people. You know, if there's some, you know, social media personality who is dealing with a similar type of anxiety, you know, like, the tips are out there. There are professionals to help. I mean, I think most people could benefit from therapy, even if they don't think they can. You know, and worst case scenario, you have a dedicated person who listens to your problems, and that's always positive. You know, just keep going. You know, you'll find something that works for you. And maybe that's a combination of medication and lifestyle changes, or one or the other. Life is really crazy, and it seems to be getting crazier all the time. And I think the fact that we're so interconnected as a world through technology, on one hand, has amazing benefits of connectivity and things of that sort. But on the other hand, it's like the worst things that are happening everywhere in your backyard because, you know, you're aware of it. So I'd say stay positive and you can do it.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for all of that. Ben, this has been so amazing, so helpful. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. Can you share with our listeners where they can find you?
I try to stay active on Instagram, and my handle is Wellness with Ben. My company is called Back to Basics Wellness, and that's BK, the number 2, Basics Wellness, because I'm in Brooklyn and, you know, simplifying things is really the idea there.
All right, perfect. And everyone, I will put those links in the show notes, so definitely go check out Ben. Ben, thank you so much for being here today.
Of course. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Ben, thank you so much for being here and sharing your story. I really appreciate it. So I wanted to just share some of my takeaways and reflections from my conversation with Ben. One being that Ben mentioned that he started taking magnesium. Now, I'm not a doctor. Ben as well, you know, said he doesn't give medical advice, but I really feel like magnesium has helped me a lot. And I don't know if my anxiety was solely lowered due to magnesium, because I do a lot of things to manage my anxiety and work on my overall wellness, which I think is really helpful. But magnesium is definitely something that I have added to my wellness routine, and I think that it has really helped. So as you know, I do have a generalized anxiety disorder, so I did want to talk about some things that help me. Now, it definitely depends on the level of my anxiety. If I'm having an anxiety attack, that's a whole other story. But for lower to more medium levels of anxiety, these are some things that I do. I really like the 4-7-8 breathing while tapping. So if you don't know what that is, you take an inhale through your nose for the count of 4. You hold the breath for 7. And you exhale through your mouth for a count of 8. And I like to do this while I'm tapping. So you can't see me, so it's kind of a little hard to explain, but you can do this in a lot of different ways. So the way that I do it is I cross my arms and I'll take my fingers and I'll alternate tapping on my shoulder, or I'll do it kind of on my thighs, like closer to my waist. Or if I'm stuck in traffic and I'm not moving, I will take my fingers and I'll tap my opposite hand. I really like tapping, and I've really found it to be helpful. Something I always recommend to my clients is the app, The Tapping Solutions. I really like this app. There are a lot of tappings in it that you have to pay for, but they have a ton of free taps in there. So I always recommend that app. It walks you through different tapping exercises, and I like to do that before bed or at another time throughout the day if I'm meditating or something. Hopping to meditation. Meditation I find to be very helpful for people that struggle with anxiety, because a lot of anxiety is focusing on the past or focusing on the future. A lot of those what ifs thoughts, and going down that kind of rabbit hole and getting trapped in these thoughts. So I really like meditation because it grounds you into the present moment. Something that is helpful to ground yourself into the present moment is actually engaging with your senses. So looking around the room, naming things that you can see, touching something like a fidget or a fuzzy blanket or something like that, getting a snack. And some people find that a really, really sour candy like a Warhead or something really helps. And I find that spearmint gum really helps as well. Something that I also do, I don't know where I got this from, but something I do when I'm feeling really anxious is I count. I do this a lot when I'm on the plane, when we're taking off or when we're landing, because I absolutely hate flying and I'm really scared to fly. I just count and I'm focusing on visualizing the numbers in my head and hearing myself say the numbers. So that is something I do as well. I wanted to touch on something that Ben spoke about. He talked about anxiety in your brain, and something I wanted to mention was that anxiety and excitement, I don't know how this biologically works, but it's the same area in your brain. So kind of a hack for when you're feeling anxious, because it kind of even has the same symptoms and operates in the same way, is saying, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Is it anxiety or is it excitement? I'm so excited about whatever the case may be. I hope that you enjoyed this episode and my conversation with Ben, and I hope that you got something out of it, and some little nugget of wisdom in there is going to be able to help you manage your anxiety more effectively. I would love to hear how you manage your anxiety, what works, what doesn't work, what you want to try, any ideas that you have. Feel free to message me, or you can join the conversation in my Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/accordingtodes. I hope I see you in there. Thank you so much for being a part of this amazing community. I really hope that you liked this episode and gained a lot of value from it. If you did like this episode, please share it on social media. You can tag me at The Wellness Project with Des on Instagram and at According to Des on Facebook. If you do enjoy my podcast and gain value from it, I would greatly appreciate your support. You can show your love and support by buying me a coffee. This will help my podcast to grow and in turn will help me to keep bringing on amazing guests. You can go to buymeacoffee.com/thewellnessprojectwithdes to show your support. All books written by or recommended by my amazing podcast guests are listed on my Amazon storefront. Go to the link in the show notes to check out those books. I would love to extend an invite to you to become a part of my community. You can do this through Facebook, where we will be discussing this episode. I would love for you to share your insights, any aha moments, any thoughts or ideas you would like to contribute. You can contribute in the discussion taking place in my Facebook group, and it's a great place to connect with me because I am in there every day with mental health and wellness content, discussions, reflections, journal prompts. It's a fun and supportive place to be. You can find the group at facebook.com/groups/accordingtodes, and that link will also be in the show notes. You can also check out more of what I'm doing on my website, accordingtodes.com. You'll find a lot of wellness blogs, written interviews, detailed podcast show notes, and my shop, where you will be able to find workshops, my self-care course, digital downloads, ebooks. There's a lot going on my website, so make sure you check that out at accordingtodes.com. And while you're there, join my email list to stay in the know about what I have going on and available for you. When you sign up, you will get your free ebook, The 5 Stress Reduction Techniques to Help You Feel More Relaxed. Thank you so much for being here. I will talk to you next week. So until then, I hope you have a calm and peaceful week.